Good morning and welcome to 6 Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church. On this another Lord's Day morning, I do want to thank you for joining with us, and I do pray that the Lord will richly bless you wherever you are as you're tuning into our broadcast today. Certainly we don't take it for granted, each one that tunes in week by week, and we do want to say a word of thanks for your faithfulness in coming and even studying God's Word with us. Now just some announcements. We're delighted to say that the session we've agreed for the reopening of our church building here for the services. And can we say that the first service back in church will be next Wednesday night, our weekly Bible study and prayer meeting. So that's Wednesday the 1st of July. We will be reconvening for the prayer meeting. Now can we say to God's people and to each one that would have that desire even to come on Wednesday night, can we say that please you will not be getting in before 10 to 8. So please do not be coming to the doors any earlier. If you're coming into the car park, please remain in your car until just before 10 to 8, and then we will be bringing the people in. And please do adhere to the stewards and to the attendants who will be seating you. Please be respectful and just follow their guidelines. We want to keep it as safe as possible. There will be the social distancing even in the pews, and so please do listen to each one that is giving that guidance. Can we say as well that you are more than welcome if you wish to wear either face mask or gloves. Certainly you're at liberty to do so. And if you would like to, then please do avail of that. The toilets will be open, but please do be mindful to keep them and even clean your hands both before and after use in them. And can we also say just at this stage that for anyone that is shielding, and obviously there are those within our congregation who are, can we say that the broadcast will be continuing to go out on YouTube and Facebook and on Sermon Audio. But unfortunately, we don't have the availability to do the live broadcasts, but we will be uploading them after the services are finished. So do keep an eye if you're shielding. As we say, we will be keeping the broadcast going to make that availability for those that are staying at home. Now we're delighted this morning our brother Stephen Anderson, a member of our own congregation, has recorded this new piece for us, and we're delighted he's going to sing for us now. For us,
brings today our glories tomorrow. No more suffering in our eternal home. What an honor if I was considered worthy to suffer for him, shame for Jesus' name. Yet if Christ be there for me, who would dare to be again?
Thanks, Stephen, for ministering to us in song, and certainly it has been a blessing to our hearts to hear that song together. I invite you to open your Bibles in Jonah chapter 3 as we continue our series through this wonderful book of Jonah, Jonah and the chapter number 3, and we're going to take the time once again to read the passage together. Jonah chapter 3, and commencing at the verse number 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, that he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not eat nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would not, that he would do unto them. And he did it not. Amen. And may God bless once again the reading of his precious and his infallible word. This week's sermon and this week's message, as we continue through the book of Jonah, is entitled Jonah, the Reformation Prophet. Jonah the Reformation Prophet. And this particular passage, this particular part that we're looking at together, will be for both this week and indeed next Sunday morning as well. Jonah the Reformation Prophet. Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we come to thee this morning, and we do want to praise and to thank thee for thy goodness and for thy mercy. We praise thee, O God, for thy only begotten Son, our Saviour, the only Redeemer of God's elect, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, every single Lord's Day, that we worship thee and we rejoice in the glorious truth that the tomb today is empty and our Lord and Saviour is alive forevermore. We thank thee for that sacrifice which he gave upon the cross. He laid down his life and he took our sin and our sorrow and he made them his very own. We thank thee, O God, that he suffered the cruelty of man, but, O God, he suffered the wrath and the justice of God. We do rejoice in his victory there upon the cross. We do rejoice, O God, that he has defeated now death as well, for he rose from the dead on the first day of the week, and he has ascended up into heaven, seated at thy right hand. And oh, we rejoice that he will one day return. He will come back down through the clouds and gather his people unto himself. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the reading of thy word. We thank thee, O God, for the ministry and song. We thank thee as well for even the news. And we give thee all of the thanks and the praise for the reopening of our churches. And we do pray that in the days that lie ahead, that thou wilt gather once again thy people together, that we will have the joy of gathering unto the house of the Lord, that we will enter even in through the doors with praise and with thanksgiving in our hearts. We do pray that others will join with us, those that have been under the sound of thy word over these weeks and months, that desire will be placed in their hearts to come in and to hear the ministry of God's word and the worship of thy most holy name in this house. Lord, bless us even this morning as we consider this passage together. We thank thee for the book of Jonah. We thank thee for the many lessons that are found in it. And O God, we do pray that thou wilt once again minister to our hearts today. Lord, bless us and speak unto us. Fill us with thy Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. The schoolhouse in Coleraine in 1859. There was a schoolboy who was under deep conviction of sin. The young boy was unable to continue with his studies in the classroom. The teacher sent him home, and he also sent another young lad with him to make sure he got home safely. The other lad was a Christian boy. And as they were making their way home together, they stopped and they prayed. The young boy that was under conviction of sin at last, he came and he found that peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had his sins forgiven. And he got up from his knees there at the side of the road with great joy in his heart. And he returned to his classroom and to his class, and he said to his teacher publicly, "I am so happy, for I have the Lord Jesus in my heart." You know, that simple confession of faith, that innocent testimony, it affected every single boy in that classroom. And one by one, those little boys, those young boys in that class, they left the room. And the teacher, he looked out of the window and he was amazed as he looked around the playground. And everywhere scattered around the playground were all the boys out of that class on their knees crying unto the Lord. Soon the whole school was in a state of chaos. No class was able to continue. No teacher was able to give that help. So they contacted the local ministers in the area, and the ministers came, and one by one they went round the various children who were under conviction of sin. And up until 11 o'clock at that evening, young boys were seeking the Lord for salvation, individually being pointed to Christ. You know, that day in that school in Coleraine in 1859, the glorious year of revival and reformation within our own land and province, that day pupils, teachers, parents, and even neighbours were gloriously saved by the grace of God. You know, revival is a wonderful blessing upon any church or any individual. It's what the child of God longs for, both for themselves, that the Lord would refresh them, the Lord would warm them, even by his Holy Spirit. It's what each individual and each Christian longs for their church, that the Lord would revive the church from the pulpit right down through every pew, and that the Lord would send a revival even for our communities. You know, revival is in reality when a person is reformed or transformed by the Spirit of God. When they cast aside their sinful ways and they're changed into what God would have them to be. You mention and you think of the word reformation, you think of that period in history that is known as the Reformation time. And anyone who, with a knowledge of church history, will point immediately to 1517 and the years following. And to men such as Martin Luther, and John Calvin, and Zwingli and Knox, men who were saved out of the darkness of Rome by the grace of God, and then mightily used of God to bring the gospel to men and women right across Europe, and even further afield. Those Reformation years that led to a moving of God, to an extent where the scriptures were given their proper place in both the church and society once again. And the scriptures were even that title and that sola that was given, that standing, that point that was given by the Reformation sola scriptura, that the scriptures alone are the sole authority, the rule for faith and for practice. The worship of God and the format for that worship. That Reformation time was dramatically changed. The reintroduction of the centrality of the preaching of God's word was given place. No longer were men simply speaking in Latin at the front of the churches. But now rather each church that was reformed and each one that was led by a man of God saved by the grace of God, they heard God's word preached to them in their own tongue, in their own language. And ever since, even, and you can see it for yourself in our church and even here, the pulpit is in the middle because the preaching of God's word is central to all of our worship. And the word of God, the reading of it and the preaching of it is the key part of all of our worship. As you consider Jonah chapter 3, what we've read even in this passage, we can see the parallels that there are to a time of reformation, to a glorious time of revival within that city of Nineveh. But before we go any further and before we go in to consider the reformation of the people of Nineveh, I want to just highlight one thing to every child of God that is listening. I want you to see the common factor in every revival and in every period of reformation in the history of this world. That point, namely, that common factor being the relationship of God's people to the Lord Himself. You know, when the child of God is reformed, then that reformation spreads. When Jonah submitted his will here in this book of Jonah, and we've read it, and especially in the chapter 2, whenever he was taken down in that fish's belly and he changed it, and he was changed by the grace of God and the Spirit of God worked in him, that he eventually came to that point where his worship was in tune with the Lord. His mind and his heart was focused upon the will and upon the person of Jesus Christ. And then whenever he was cast out of the fish, then he was obedient to God's will. He set aside his own desires. He set aside his own pleasures, his own longings, his own ideologies. And he came after in submission to the will of God. You see, when Jonah submitted his will and his work to the Lord's will, then he was used. And then Nineveh was reformed. When Luther and the reformers at that time in the 1500s were saved, in obedience to the word of God, then the world was transformed. When the church set itself to prayer in 1858, and in the 1859, then revival broke out in Northern Ireland. Much of the revival in 1859 can be traced to a little house, a little place outside of Ballymena, when four men set themselves to pray. When the Christian ladies in the Isle of Lewis set themselves to prayer in the 1950s and even before that, the 1940s, in the church in the Isle of Lewis, they took to heart the words of Psalm 24 and the verses 3 and 4, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord." The church there in the Isle of Lewis, in the reading of those words, they then set themselves to prayer and they simply cried, "O God, are my hands clean? Is my heart pure?" And from that time in the Isle of Lewis, the Spirit of God moved in such a way that pubs were closed, discos were empty. Men and women gathered together from every hamlet and village. churches were full. And even many outside in the open air, crying unto the Lord for salvation. Child of God, never forget the words of 2 Chronicles 7:14. The Lord says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But God looks for his people first to be changed and transformed and reformed into what he would have them to be. You think of the motto of the Welsh revivals. The motto for that revival time in Wales was simply this: bend the church, save the people. Bend the church and save the people. Let me ask you, child of God, today, are you willing to be bent? Are you willing to be broken in prayer to see the lost won for Christ? Are you willing to set aside all of your own desires and all of your own ideologies and all of your own things that you would have to seek and to prioritize yourself? And are you willing to give yourself to the Lord in prayer? Are you willing to give yourself to the Lord even in service and to give up your will and to hand your will and your life over to the Lord? Are we willing for the Lord to reform us as Jonah was? We looked at it last week. Jonah was the right prophet for the Lord to use at that time. And through his preaching, reformation came to Nineveh. There are 3 points I want to leave with you. We're only going to get the first one covered this morning. We'll come back, God willing, next Sunday to do and to look at the other two. The first point I want you to see in relation to the Reformation, I want you to see the call to Reformation. The call to Reformation. The verse number 4, it says very simply, Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Jonah enters into Nineveh. He begins to preach. He presents a message which is recorded in Scripture in the English tongue as only being 8 words. If you look at the original language, the original Hebrew which Jonah would have preached in, it's only 5 words. And it's a very clear, it's a very concise message from the Lord. 40 days and I will come and I will punish you for your sin. Jonah presents it time and again to the people. As he makes his way through the streets, as he makes his way from group to group, as he's getting further and further into the city and into the inner city, Jonah constantly just keeps coming with the same message. He doesn't change it. He doesn't dilute it. 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He moves through those streets. He preaches the message the Lord has given to him. And he preaches only that message. You see, that's interesting in itself. You want a reformation and a revival in our land. You need to be looking for men to keep to the old message of the gospel. A new message is not going to suffice. A new message is not going to change. Because there is only one message and there's only one glorious message. And we're simply, as the children of God and the preachers of the gospel, to present that message time and time again. Preach the word in season. Preach the word out of season. Jonah, as he makes his way through the streets, he reproves, he rebukes, he exhorts with all long suffering and doctrine. My Jonah is an example to every preacher and an example to everyone who would seek to speak for Christ, whether that be Sunday school teachers, children's workers, youth workers, or even the evangelists, the door-to-door, the one-to-one outreach, each and every one. There's only one message to preach. There's only one message to proclaim, and it's that of Christ. You know, we live in an age when society sadly, even in some churches, where the men and women in those churches and in society, they want to dictate the message that is preached from the pulpit. They don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to hear about hell. They don't want to hear about the holiness of God and the justice and the wrath of God. They don't want to hear that they're sinners deserving of that wrath and deserving to be cast into hell forever. And so they seek to force and seek to push men and put them into a corner and restrict them as to what they can say and what they cannot say. I think of the words of the Apostle Paul in Galatians 1 and the verse 10. He says, "If I pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Society today, and as I say, sadly even in some churches, the people don't want to hear that they're not going to heaven and that they can't get there themselves. The words sin, hell, God's wrath have been eliminated and eradicated from the vocabulary that is used. What was once referred to in the past as hellfire preaching, sadly, is not present in many pulpits today. The message, rather, is a very cuddly message. That simply God is love and God loves all. You just do your best. That's good enough. You just keep being kind to your neighbor. You just keep coming to your church. And as long as you're attending and as long as you're paying into your church and as long as you're being a good upstanding member of society and you're being a friendly person and you're being kind and all the rest, well then you just trust the church. The church will get you to heaven. Don't worry about that. My, hasn't the devil done well? He spread the lie and even ministers and churches have believed it. To preach on hell and punishment, preach on sin, well, that just frightens people, so don't do it. It's not needed. Let me ask you a very simple question. It's one anybody could answer, young even to the old. If Jonah went to Nineveh and he simply went with a cuddly message, encourage the people to be nice to each other, to be the best that they could be. If he went and he never mentioned the fact that these people were living in sin and God was coming to punish them, then where would Nineveh be today? Where would all of those people be? What would have happened if Jonah had never preached the gospel? What would have happened to all of those people if Jonah had never warned them of the judgment to come? If he simply entered in and he just encouraged them, keep going. Be nice to one another. Be the best that you can be. My, whatever you set your mind to, you can do it. If he went through the city for those 40 days and just preached that message nonstop, I can guarantee you this, and you know it for yourself, every single one of those people in that city would have been condemned and damned to hell forever. And Jonah, as a preacher sent of God, would have been feeling the Ninevites. Yea, he would have had their blood on his hands. My friend, he had to tell them God's message. For yes, it contained God's wrath. It contained God's judgment for their sin. But it also contained God's grace. It was the grace of God that spared them to this point. It was the grace of God that spared them from immediate punishment for their sin. It was the grace of God that God sent them a messenger and God delivered the message to them through Jonah. It was the grace of God that caused that city not only to hear the message but also to heed it. God didn't reward them after their sin, but in His great mercy and grace, He turned them to Himself. My friend, they needed to live in the reality of their situation. Jonah, as he made his way through those streets, as he presented that message from the Lord even to them, your sin has come up before the Lord. And he's just simply saying, 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. And through that, what's he teaching? Yous are sinners heading for hell. And God is not going to stand idly by and let you live as you so please. You're not going to get away with it. Remember, their sin was great. We highlighted this last week. They were people who were quite happy to kill babies, to kill children, serve false gods, quite happy to do the most horrendous forms of capital punishment. No mercy was shown to any of the armies that they went against. Whenever the armies surrendered, they were not simply taken captive, they were put to the sword. Their heads were put in spears. They deserved God's full wrath upon them. And yet God gave grace. Beloved, that's the reality for you. Each one that is still in their sin, God has taken note of your sin. God has seen every single thought you have ever had. God has seen the very desires of your heart. He has heard every word that you have said. He has witnessed every single action you've ever performed. Every single sin that you have ever committed, whether it be thought, word, or deed, every single day of your life, God has the record of them all. There is nothing, nothing hidden from Him. Hebrews 4 and verse 13, it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Men and women, boys and girls, whether the Lord comes in 40 days, 40 weeks, 40 months, or 40 years, He is coming to judge the world, and He is coming to judge you for your sin. Every single sinner must give an account for their own life. You will not answer for the sins of your parents. You will not answer for the sins of your children. You will answer for your own sin. God is coming. Your sin has gone up before Him. And God will judge you for your sin. But at this moment, right now, you're living in a time of opportunity and grace. God has given you the opportunity to repent of your sin. To simply accept that you're a sinner. Even as it tells us in Romans that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To simply accept you deserve, yes, you deserve God's wrath and punishment. And to accept the salvation which Christ freely offers to you. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, He went to the cross. Remember that. In the midst of all of the physical suffering and pain that He endured at the hands of the Romans, the Jewish leaders, He suffered and he bore the spiritual wrath of God for the sins of his people. He shed his own precious blood. And he died upon that cross to satisfy divine wrath and justice for sin. All you have to do is simply but come and take the salvation. You see, the salvation that Christ offers is the only way to have peace with God. The salvation which Christ offers to you is the only way to have that judgment, that death penalty that is hanging over your head for your sin, to have it removed. I can't say it any clearer, any simpler than this. There is only one salvation. There is only one Savior. Acts 4, the verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. One salvation, one Savior. And if you neglect the salvation which Christ offers, salvation which he purchased on the cross, you neglect that salvation which is full and free, let me tell you this, you will not be saved. You cannot be saved. If you neglect Christ, if you neglect his salvation, that offer to take all of your sins and to wash them, to cleanse them, to cover them neath his blood, you reject that offer, you reject that salvation, you will not be saved. Hebrews 2 and verse 3, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, if Nineveh that day, as Jonah walked through the city day by day, if those people in those streets heard that message from Jonah, then simply turned their backs on him and carried on with their living, they rejected him and said, no, we're not listening to him. He's an outsider. He's not an Assyrian. He's a Jew. He's an Israelite. He's not one of us. We're not going to listen to his message. We have our own faith. We have our own ideologies. We have our own culture. We have everything ourselves. We're not going to listen to some man from outside. They simply turned their back on Jonah and carried on with their life. God was going to judge them. They would have been condemned to hell forever. Lost. With no hope. And women, boys and girls, God has given you this message today. There is a call for reformation. Your sin has come up before the Lord. He will punish you for it if you remain in it. But yet today he calls you to repent. To turn in faith to him. He's promised, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So my question as we close is this. Will you? Will you heed the message of the gospel? Will you heed the message today that you're born in sin and your sin is going to take you to hell? You heed the message today that the Lord Jesus Christ right now is willing and able to save you? Are you going to turn your back and just carry on? Next week we're going to come back and look again at Nineveh. We're going to look next week at the change that was there. We're going to see a wonderful moving of God. God changed everything in Nineveh. My friend, God can change everything in you. Don't neglect Him. Don't reject Him. Rather come. Put your faith and trust in Him. The one, the only one, who can save you from your sin. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee. We do thank Thee and praise Thee for the grace of God. The grace that was so evident even there to the city of Nineveh. That I gave them that message even delivered to them by Jonah. That call to repentance, that call to reformation. And O God in heaven, we thank Thee that that call was heeded. That the man and woman, even as we will look at next week, the man and woman turned from their sin. They repented of it. They put their faith and trust in Christ. Oh, may that be the reality today for those that are listening in. We pray especially, O God, for those that are unsaved. Lord, their sin is before Thee. Lord, Thy judgment is coming upon them. Oh, whilst this day of opportunity and grace is still here, O God, may many turn to Thee. May Thy Spirit be working in hearts even now, young and old alike, that they will turn from their sin and cry unto Thee, O God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. O do a work, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.